And welcome to the End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald. Today's podcast will be dealing with spiritual perversion equals sexual perversion equals false teachers. We know within the latest news within the American Christian Church, the things that are going on with IHOP of Kansas City, with Mike Bickle, with the sex scandal that took place. Or is taking place with him, and that is undergoing investigation. But even with that being said, some things with IHOP was very kind of off and kind of odd anyway. Bickle, with his relationship with one of his mentors, Bob Jones. Bob Jones was much a false prophet and a false teacher, but also had a lot of sexual immorality in his life or his lifestyle. So as the old saying, it's not Bible, but birds of a feather do flock together. And then the Word of God also states, and I believe in Amos, can two walk together lest they be agreed. So with that being said, seeing the foundation of Bickle being connected to Bob Jones and seeing the allegations, are hearing about the allegations, the multiple allegations that are coming out, the women who have stated that they are victimized by Bickle with these sexual encounters and everything, kind of adds up. So no further ado, I kind of want to dive into the connection with sexual perversion and false teaching, because one of the things that I see when you're looking at the Word of God, when somebody is perverse in the scriptures, or there's perversion in their teaching, usually there's other things that are factored in that's taking place. So false teachers has always been a strong connection with sexual immorality. So we can even see this in the Old Testament times. We see this in Baal worship, which encompassed polytheism, idolatry, sexual immorality, which was against Yahweh's commandments and laws. We see this established in the nation of Israel when we look at two prime examples of Jezebel and Ahab. In the Old Testament, they corrupted Israel with these idol worship, but also too with false teaching that had these false gods, Baal and Ashtoreth, which they led Israel astray to worship these idol gods and not worship the true living God, Yahweh. The teaching stated that there were gods and goddesses that you can worship alongside Yahweh, which was false. They taught a lot of indulgence in sexual immorality, and part of it was in the temple worship, where you had the temple prostitutes and other things that would take place, a bunch of vow things that would take place in these temples, pretty much sex magic rituals taking place in these temples during that time. We fast forward and we look at the New Testament. There are many teachers who integrated false teachings into their teachings of the church as a method of Christians or leading Christians away from the true gospel. You see this in Gnosticism. A lot of the roots that the early Christian church had problems with was Gnosticism. Gnosticism incorporated quite a bit of a perversion of true Christian doctrine, things of androgyny and other things that it promoted. It promoted like things that were alternative than what the scripture defines as what sexuality should be. So when we look at these things, that Gnosticism was an infusion of false teaching, it did have a connection of promoting and incorporating sexual immorality to subvert the gospel and the scriptures. Prime example, when we go over to the book of Revelation, we look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 and verse 20, it talks about the doctrines of Balaam and the Nickelodeons and the prophetess Jezebel. Through their doctrines, people were led into believing that leading a life of sexual immorality was okay. Anyone can live or lead a godly or ungodly lifestyle and still have a relationship with Christ. False teachers of that era were perverting the truth of God's words. These are prime examples that we see with men around our time and false teachers in the connection with sexual immorality. Perverted teachings was brought about by their own perverted sexual appetites. So we're going to examine and kind of correlate some of these examples that we can see. First person I want to share with, that you can see this, this guy was a prophet during the 1940s and 1950s. His name was Detroit's Prophet Jones. Now, Prophet Jones or Detroit Prophet Jones, he was one of the most prominent black ministers to be called a prophet during the 1940s and 1950s. He's also considered queer or homosexuality. We can even see, if you do your research, Adam Clayton Powell, which was, I believe Adam Clayton Powell Jr. or Sr., I believe it might have been Sr., but Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Took over his dad's church, the Abyssinian Baptist Church there in New York. Clayton Powell Jr. eventually ended up becoming a politician, going to Washington, D.C. I believe it might have been his dad, but he alluded to some things about Jones being in love with another man and some other things and all, and talked about that. So this was very prevalent in Jones's life that was going on, but he's very flamboyant, but he duped a lot of people out of money and had a lot of false teaching and other things that took place. Jones, he pretty much built his religious empire on pimping poor, disenfranchised black people around his area. And Jones would also, what he would do is one of the methods that he would do is he would pay for like hundreds of newspapers with his pictures on it. And then he would turn around and sell it for 10 cents each. And then he would buy it for 10 cents each and then would turn around and sell it for $5 each, claiming that these papers had these miraculous curative properties in that. Pretty much what we see in today's quote unquote, some of these quote unquote prophetic circles, seed offerings and all these other things and all. To get like a miracle or prophetic word, you have to sow a seed into it. So Jones is probably one of the forerunners of false prophets that love money and prophesy for money and love to pimp and manipulate and dupe people out of money. Yet and still, he was a false teacher and he had false teachings, and due to the fact his lifestyle did not line up biblically what the Word of God talks about how a man of God should really live. So we see the impact of his perversion of his teaching was also a perversion of his lifestyle, kind of coincide with that. This man lived like a millionaire, wearing mink coats, jewelry, all these other things and all. I believe you can find some of his videos on YouTube, but you can kind of see how this guy lived. He drove luxury cars, lived in mansions, lived very extravagant, but his prophecies were like off. One of the things that he had prophesied that all men will become immortal by the year 2000. Well, we're living in 2024 now, and I don't see where all men have become immortal. So we know that he died without seeing that transpire. He died way before 2000. He was a false teacher, a lying prophet, and just so many contradictions. So we see that within Detroit Prophet Jones. The next person I want to kind of like look into, because I'm in this podcast, we are talking about sexual perversion equals spiritual perversion equals sexual perversion equals false teachers. We see Father Divine. Now, Father Divine, initially his birth given name was George Baker Jr. He arose in the late 1910, and he founded the International Peace Mission. He's believed himself to be God. So Father Divine, he believed that he was God, and he told or he preached to his followers sexual abstinence, but he didn't follow it his own self. You know, he lived a perverted sexual life. He would tell his mistress, when you have sexual relations with him, you're bringing the desires to the surface that can be eliminated. He presented himself to these mistress that he was God. He having these sexual relationships, he made the statement, when I have sex relations with you, I'm bringing your desires to surface that can eliminate it. God is the only one who can do as he pleases. So he's making a statement that he's a God and he can have sex with whoever he wanted to as he pleases. This sounds very familiar, what the serpent said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, when he's talking to Eve, when he's talking to the woman. Sounds very familiar. One important note, which we'll talk about this next person. Ironically, Father Divine was best known being the mentor of Jim Jones, the same Jim Jones that led the People's Temple, this group, all the way down to Guyana, where they drank the poison Kool-Aid and end up having mass suicide. So we see how spiritual perversion and perversion of teaching and sexual perversion, it walks hand in hand. Then we look at Father Divine's mentee, Jim Jones, which he learned some of his pimping game and some of this other stuff from Father Divine. Now, when we look at Jones, he structured the People's Temple the same fashion as Divine's International Peace Mission. Jones thought he was also God. He sexually abused a lot of his followers, and he was bisexual. In short, he was a pervert. He perverted a lot of things, slept with lots of different men, lots of different women within his cult. Eventually, Jim Jones, he took over Divine's International Peace Mission in 1972 after his death. And Jones claimed to be Father Divine being reincarnated, and was, and which is crazy because him and Father Divine were both on the planet at the same time. Divine died, but he claimed being reincarnated. But people believed, people were so delusional that they fell for this lie. They was following this man who was sexually perverted, spiritually perverted, all these false teachings. They were able to get duped. He eventually ended up leading close to almost over 900 people to a mass suicide down in the jungles of Guyana, which these people are looking at eternal damnation and spiritual death because they follow a lie instead of following the truth. They followed this spiritually perverse man down to the jungle to drink poison Kool-Aid eventually end up costing them their very much their eternal souls. Another individual I want to look at why we're doing this podcast and why we're doing this teaching, which is trying to enlighten you in regards to the connection of sexual perversion and spiritual perversion, how false teaching does have a profound effect on a large amount of times on sexual immorality that's taking place. But David Berg, he was the founder of a group called Children of God. Now it's called the Family International. Berg founded this group in 1960s, and it was a Christian organization. Berg established all sorts of wild teachings for his group. Some of the things that he established to gain proselytes, he introduced flirty fishing in 1974. Is when he encouraged female members to have sex with potential members to show God's love. By 1978, a widespread of his members in some areas, flirty fishers would use escort services to meet people. There's also means to raise money for the group. That is outright just crazy. You talk about evangelizing the world, where you're using sexual escort services to get people or to raise money for the ministry, is having people have sex or prostitute or pimping people out. That's taking it much to another degree. Some of the other beliefs of this group were as follows. Female bisexuality was sanctioned. Spirit helpers, which are examples of angels or departed humans or goddesses, were giving followers spiritual instructions. Other things that were taking place were bridal theology. Members would visualize that they were having sex with Jesus through sexual intercourse or masturbation. Male members were to visualize they were women to prevent having homosexual relationships with Jesus. Berg was seen as a prophet in the group, and he was called Moses, he was called David, he was called King David, either or. But it's just like really crazy that this was taking place. It was known that he was outspoken and repudiated as a anti-Semite and a pedophile. So he had all these wild teachings, but he had a very perverse, sexually perverse lifestyle that he practiced. So it really manifested itself both in lifestyle and his teaching, which is just crazy and ironic. We look at David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. David Koresh was the leader of the Branch Davidians. Some people back when this happened is Wacko from Waco, but this group was initially broke off for 7 Day Adventist, and he created this cult there in Waco, Texas in 1981, and he called it the Branch Davidians. When we look at Koresh, just a lot of stuff just crazy that just stands out. 1983, he claimed he had the gift of prophecy, and then he started an affair with this prophetess and the leader of the group, Lois Roden, who was in the late 60s at the time. So here's this young man having an affair with the so-called prophetess, and they form this cult, they form this group, and they break off with 7 Day at Venice. And they begin to have this affair. She began to let Koresh teach, and then she eventually ended up dying in 1986. And then Koresh took over the group, and he began to teach polygamy. And with that being said, he was entitled to 140 wives, 60 women as his queens, and 80 as his concubines. And he based this, this is how sick and twisted how when people are in sexual perversion or just spiritually perverted, how they really pervert the teachings. He based this on the Word of God, based on Solomon, on the Song of Solomon. So it was a perversion of the scriptures that he was taking out of context to gratify his sexual desires of having 140 wives, which was crazy. Eventually, Koresh ended up leading this group, getting killed, standoff with the federal government. I believe Janet Reno at the time was in charge of this operation, and he ended up leading all these people within his group there in Waco to death due to the fact that there's perverted teaching, some other things and all. We look at even most recent history with Todd Bentley. We look at Todd Bentley, even when things were going on with the Lakeland revival there in Florida, God TV was televising Bentley as being the hottest thing since like, I guess, Tesla electric car, if you want to say something like that. But they were promoting this guy as the next big thing. C.P. DeWagner, Mike Bickle, Rick Joyner, Cheyenne, who claims to be an apostle, Bill Johnson with Bethel Church, all these people. But this guy was rooted in perversion, sexual perversion, perversion of spiritual perversion, and false teaching. Number one, all this going on during the Lakeland revival, he's having an affair, committing adultery and having an affair with his assistant while being married. But God TV was televising it night after night, this revival going on. The money was rolling in. All these so-called false apostles and false prophets were pushing him and giving him prophetic utterance that he had such a great ministry, but he was eventually he ended up divorcing his wife and leaving his wife for his female staffer, which is perpetual adultery because you left your wife for another woman and you end up marrying this woman. It's twisted with scriptures. But we see even with his behavior, just some of the things. And then eventually, like before he even started, he didn't have a bunch of tattoos. Then all of a sudden he's all tatted up. He's piercings and just other things and all. You see, you start to see all these body piercings and stuff like that. You start seeing gradually this manifestation, but you see that it was involved in sexual immorality. His teachings were perverse, and it's a perverse spirit operating in him, to the very fact that he's quoted saying that what helped him operate in a lot of his miracles and was assisting him was a female angel called Emma, which doesn't line up with scripture. When we look at that, we have to really look at the scriptures. We have to be biblical sound. First of all, biblically, angels will always appear in human form. They always appear as male. You never hear about any scriptures talking about angels appearing as female. I know back in the day, watching Roma Downey and Della Reese, Touched by Angel and all these other things, which with Roma Downey, that's a whole different avenue that you can get into. It's a lot of stuff that she, she's kind of into mysticism, a lot of new age stuff. And she promotes Catholicism and all. But again, that's a separate subject in itself. But here, Emma is known as a demon god, Emma-O, the Lord of Death and the God of the Underworld. So here's Bentley. He's promoting this female angel, Emma, but Emma-O is known as a demon. So he's promoting the Lord of Death, the God of the Underworld, this female angel, as promoting his so-called lying signs and wonders when he's conducting this revival there in Lakeland, Florida. And then also not all these lying signs and wonders, but like he's collecting money and taking in big offerings and all. It's just crazy. I want to look at 2 Peter. It has two verses. 1-3 says, "But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now is long, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." So folks, we are definitely in the last days. An increase of false teachers and false prophets are escalating even more. Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 24 at the Olivet Discourse. He warns at least four different times during that Olivet Discourse. Don't be deceived. Talks about false prophets and false Christ will arise, and we see the escalation of that. So we know that we're at the end of the age. As true Christians, we must be established always in the Word of God and have the ability through the Holy Spirit to discern spirits. And lastly, know ministers by the fruit they bear and not through lying signs and wonders. We need to guard ourselves, especially in these very last minutes of the last days, from deception. So, as always said, we have to be modern day Bereans, study the scriptures for ourselves, to walk in spiritual discernment, because we're living in an age where deception is on the rise. And the Bible warns us, if we don't love truth, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, then we'll be given over to a strong delusion, and you'll be eventually deceived by the son of perdition. Amen. Amen. This is the End Time Prophecy, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald, the End Time Shofar. God bless. Signing out.